This morning's reading is John chapter 11, verses 17 to 37 on page 897 in the Pew Bibles. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Thanks be to God.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On the whole, the Bible isn't a difficult book. The Holy Spirit has been poured out upon the people of God that we might read the scriptures and hear God speak to us there. On the whole, the Bible isn't a difficult book. But every now and then you come to some passages which are troubling. Wonder if, like me, you've ever found our passage today one of those that troubles. In their distress at the death of their brother, two sisters each say the same thing to Jesus. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, that's not the troubling bit. I suppose many of us have said exactly that. The troubling bit is, why did Jesus restore their brother and not mine or yours? Perhaps it was your mum or your dad, or a son or a daughter or a friend. We look to Jesus in the midst of our distress at their illness, in our grief at their death. We trusted Jesus, but they died, and they're still dead. Why did Jesus do it for these sisters and not for you or me? Such troubling thoughts can distract us from the main thing in this passage. They can take us away from sticking with these words and these verses, the things that Jesus did and said for these sisters in which they were comforted. Right up to the point when Jesus calls Lazarus from the tomb, no one expected Jesus to do that. Not the sisters, not the disciples, not the crowd, no one. But before then, before their brother was restored to them, these two sisters had already been comforted by Jesus. Not the kind of false comfort which says that bad things are never going to happen. Not even the real comfort of Jesus bringing their brother alive again. The two sisters were comforted by Jesus. Comforted in the midst of their distress. Just like these two sisters, we often meet Jesus in the midst of our distress. Just like these two sisters, Jesus meets us so that he might comfort us with the same comfort he poured into the lives of these two sisters. As with many Bible characters, we don't know much about these two sisters. They had a brother, Lazarus, he took unwell and he died. The family lived in Bethany, just on the eastern side of the Mount of Olives. You can still visit Bethany today. It's still just 2 miles from Jerusalem, but you can't any longer take that short walk from Bethany to Jerusalem because of the violent intrusion of an offensive wall. Earlier on in John 11, we are told that Jesus loved each of the three. Perhaps if we're seeking some point of contact, some similarity between these two sisters and us, we might find it right here. Jesus loved them, and Jesus loves you. God sent Jesus because he loves the whole world, and that includes us. We are able to read that nothing, not a single thing in all creation, neither height nor depth nor anything else, is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are one with Martha and Mary because the love of God catches us up just the same way as it caught them up. We are united with one another in the outstretched arms of Jesus, which enfold us in his love. This is our hope. Jesus comforted these two sisters. Jesus loved them. Jesus loves us. He will comfort us when we are in need, in every kind of need which comes upon us. This is our hope. We are loved by Jesus. Following the death of their brother, Martha and Mary were in need of comfort. We read that many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha is surrounded by well-meaning and kind neighbors and friends when she receives the news that Jesus has come. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary remained at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you." Notice here, Martha doesn't ask a question. She greets Jesus with two statements. If you had been, even now. Martha has come to know Jesus as someone who can help, someone who is willing and able to help. But by expressing this, she leaves unasked the question, will you do something? Jesus replies to her, "Your brother will rise again." Now, this reply of Jesus isn't exactly what Martha was hoping for. This reply, you see, sounds too abstract to Martha. What she hears is Jesus starting some obscure theological discussion about the future. Martha said to him, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Martha, together with all the Jews, believed that God had created all things. They believed that the whole world would continue much as it had up to the end of the age, the last days. And at the last days, God would raise all the righteous ones into his kingdom. What Martha has heard Jesus saying is something like, don't worry if it's hard today, it'll be all right tomorrow. Don't be so upset that your brother is dead today, he'll be raised at the end of the age. I suppose it might be a help in some way, but the end of the age seems an awful long way away, and she misses her brother today. But you see, that's not what Jesus was saying at all. She's misunderstood what Jesus was saying. In just one sentence, Jesus changes the whole world. What Jesus says to Martha is that the end of the age is not some way far away in the future. The last days have started. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? The resurrection is not some distant future. The life of the people of God is not some abstract theological concept. Jesus, the one who is standing before Martha, she could have reached out and touched him. Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus in himself is life. In Jesus himself, the kingdom of God has come and has started. Jesus is the king in God's kingdom, and he is present with Martha. He is right there with her in her distress. The kingdom of God is not where people go after they die. The kingdom of God is the presence of Jesus and the reign of Jesus the King today. Through his incarnation, his life and his ministry, his death and his rising again, through all that he is and all that he does, Jesus is himself the resurrection and the life. Jesus ushers into being the all-new kingdom of God. What God has promised is not waiting for us in some far distant future at the last days. What God has promised us in resurrection and life is here now. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Remember the purpose of John's gospel? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing have life in his name. The purpose of John's gospel is not to encourage us to struggle on just now, because at some time in the future it's going to work out okay. Jesus is life today. Jesus is resurrection today. It might help to remind ourselves that resurrection does not mean life after death. Resurrection is the life which is lived by the children of God. Resurrection is being a citizen in God's kingdom. And that happens today. Everyone who believes in Jesus is resurrected. Everyone who believes in Jesus is in God's kingdom right now. Jesus is the only way anyone can enter into the kingdom of God. That kingdom where every tear is wiped away. That kingdom where we know the strong arms of Jesus holding us. That kingdom where the sting of that final great enemy is pulled. Martha is not comforted by a promise for the future, but by the presence of Christ with her right now. Martha is comforted by knowing who Jesus is in himself. Perhaps we can remember one day as children we were frightened about something. And somehow it was okay whenever mum or dad showed up. Often in these days we get ourselves worked up into a state about something. We get ourselves all in a lather and all distressed. We need someone we love and trust to come and sit with us. Because we know them, we know who they are, we find some comfort in them. Martha is comforted by learning more clearly who Jesus is and knowing that he is present with her. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Might be better to read the end of the verse as, "I believe you are the Son of God who has come, who comes into the world." It's a present tense. Jesus is the Christ. He is the King in God's kingdom. Jesus is the Son of God in very nature and being God himself. He has come. He is present with us. As we get to know Jesus, we find we are comforted in him. That's what Martha learned. And we can learn today that we are already living in the kingdom of God because of who Jesus is. This is our comfort. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. No? Mary has got quite a different story. Mary's got quite a different need of comfort from Jesus. Having said that, Mary greets Jesus with exactly the same phrase as Martha, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." Wonder if you noticed, Jesus doesn't appear to answer Mary. He doesn't appear to speak to her at all. When he asks, "Where have you laid Lazarus?" it's the crowd who answers him. But then he does. Then he does respond to Mary. Jesus wept. When Jesus saw Mary weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit. He was greatly troubled. Sometimes you hear of professional people who work with the dying and the bereaved, and they might speak of having to keep an emotional distance between themselves and those they work with. But there's none of this with Jesus. His whole being is churned, gripped with compassion, moved to tears. In the Jewish tradition, even today, when friends and family come round to comfort someone who's bereaved, they will sit in silence without saying a word. There's something of that wisdom in the tender way Jesus doesn't speak to Mary, but just weeps with her. Someone has noticed her. And words aren't going to make it any better. It's no longer, "Oh, well, when something has happened, you can do this or that." Something has happened, and you might never be able to fix it. But Jesus has noticed. Jesus is brokenhearted at what he notices in Mary's life. He sits beside her and holds her hand. For us, that someone to sit beside us and hold our hand will always be Jesus. Do not for a moment imagine that the Jesus who wept with Mary, who was in torment in the garden, who was in agony on the cross, do not imagine for one moment that that Jesus is now sitting somewhere far away in the future, in some beautiful throne, in some peaceful palace, unconcerned about you. This same Jesus who wept with Mary is present with you. This same Jesus weeps with you. This same Jesus is brokenhearted at your sorrow. Someone has noticed. Someone cares. And that someone is the King of Kings, the one who reigns in God's kingdom, the only one who has come from the presence of the Father so that you might be comforted with the compassion of God. The nail-scarred hands of Jesus are reaching out to you that you might be comforted by his compassion. There won't be one of us here who hasn't known days of distress when the sorrow was so real we thought it would never end. Some of us will find our comfort with Martha. It will be good for us to see more clearly who Jesus is, to learn something of him, and to find that the theological truth about Jesus is never abstract, but is always helpful. Jesus is God with us. And as we get to know him, we are comforted with Martha. But some of us will be comforted with Mary. We don't need any words. We don't need any fancy explanations. We just need to know that Jesus has noticed, that Jesus cares. And in the outstretched arms of Jesus, we find ourselves comforted. Whether you find comfort with Martha or whether you find comfort with Mary, you will find comfort in the same Jesus. There is only one Jesus who from all eternity has been God. One Jesus who came from the bosom of the Father to make God known to us. There is only one Jesus who laid aside all the glory of God and was born among us. Only one Jesus who has lived among us, sharing our sorrows and our trials. Only one Jesus who, because he loves you, endured the violence and agony of the cross. Only one Jesus whose body was broken, whose blood was poured out for you. Only one Jesus who rose in triumph over every enemy. Every enemy. There is only one Jesus. He is the King in God's kingdom. He is the one who loves you so much that he will share his life with you. He loves you so much that he notices you and longs for you to be comforted in his compassion. Have you been comforted by Jesus in your sorrows, in your distress and your grief? This one Jesus loves you. He is present with you today. He will fill your life with hope and comfort and peace. Be comforted in this one Jesus today. Let's pray together. Father, our needs are so great here. Our wounds are so deep. We thank you that you notice us and you care for us. Open our eyes that we might see Jesus more clearly and know him more dearly and follow him more nearly, that we might know his comfort day by day. Open our eyes that we might see Jesus not only as someone to know, but as one who is with us and who weeps over us. Father, be present with us all today and every day, for that's how long we'll need you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.